Hello, and welcome to Lecture 18. I hope you are all enjoying this series and the topics that we are exploring. Please feel free to ask any questions that you have about parenting and behavior management of children with special needs by calling in and leaving a recording of your question. I'll be happy to address them in the order that they arrive to me. So just to recap, here is the list of the 17 lectures that we've done so far. First, we talked about what comes first, behaviors or emotions. Then we discussed doctors' predictions. Then we introduced ignore negative behaviors and separate without comment. We answered questions about adolescents and preemies. We talked about staying organized and consistent, and we explored sibling rivalry in children who are typically developing and children with special needs. We also discussed children with ADHD and how their needs should be addressed. Then we headed deeper into phase one, INB, ignore negative behavior, SWC, separate without comment, and missions in greater detail using adapted versions of the Are Your Hands Full audiobook volume one. This should have given you a jump start to actually start the Hands Full program, preferably on one child at a time. It should have clarified for you what to do during negative behaviors, either INB, or SWC, or a balance of both, and how to avoid direct commands for the first phase of this program by stating missions instead. We then moved ahead and added more outlooks and insights that are relevant while you might be implementing phase one of the Hands Full program, and delved even deeper into some of the phenomena you might be experiencing while working through phase one. Notably, the expected outcome that your child's behaviors will likely get worse before they get better when you start this program. Then we moved into a new topic, honest communication with children. We reviewed concepts that are related to working on obtaining and maintaining an honest relationship with children and the importance of understanding when and why children fabricate stories. We also explored the manifestations of bribery and how that impacts children's relationships with us and with doing what's right in general. And then, because enough weeks had gone by for you to think about moving into phase two of this program, we reviewed the ultimate goal of phase two, obedience. We introduced the hand-over-hand strategy, that's HOH, which will be presented in three installments over 3 weeks. I asked you to listen to the first installment of HOH a few times because although highly effective, HOH can be a bit complicated to master. You undoubtedly listened to the timing of HOH. You absorbed the idea that HOH is only used in response to commands and that the rest of the times you need to give over a directive, you use missions. You learned that you may either state a command and follow through with HOH, or state a mission. Hopefully by now you understand the difference between a mission and a command and are able to flip back and forth between the two of them without too much effort. You also learned that if you choose to say a command, it must be followed up with HOH, but that you don't have to choose commands if the timing doesn't work for you. So for example, as you're setting up your blech, running in and out of the shower and getting ready to tzindlicht, make sure to structure your statements in mission form, because then, if the child doesn't obey, nothing bad will happen from a chinuch perspective, because your child didn't receive a direct command. You also heard a description of the HOH position with all of its details. If it is difficult for you to understand the verbal description and you need an illustration of what HOH looks like, it is best to purchase either the original book, Are Your Hands Full Volume 1, or the more abridged ABCs of the Are Your Hands Full program, Volume 1. The illustrations in either of these books will give you a clear understanding of the position that you should be taking when walking a child through hand over hand. Fascinatingly enough, most children react to HOH predictably. I have narrowed down possible predictable reactions to 6 main responses. The reactions are described both in the Are Your Hands Full audiobook volume 1 and the ABCs of the Hands Full program volume 1 along with illustrations. But in the meantime, you will probably understand and appreciate the familiarity of these reactions as you think of your own children and anticipate what they might do in response to HOH. So let's give a listen and hear what they are.
At this juncture in your child's chinuch, your main goal should be to establish authority. All other goals, such as cleaning up after oneself, putting toys away, and getting dressed independently, should be taught at a later time when the child is already obeying you completely. Often, during the HOH stage, parents worry about the many skills that their children need to learn. Now is not the time to worry about those skills. While teaching obedience, the focus should remain on drilling obedience exclusively. As soon as children are obeying an unlimited number of commands that they have been issued only once, you can begin teaching daily living skills. At that point, you will also be able to give commands for tasks related to non-motor functions, such as eating, toileting, and sleeping, since the child will have become accustomed to obeying all commands without resistance. Here are some common child responses to HOH. When introduced to the HOH technique, children react in various ways. The following is a list of the most common child reactions and what to do when they occur. The first is the runner. The runner is the child who immediately begins to run away as soon as the parent approaches to perform HOH. The first time this occurs, you must actually chase and catch the child, no matter what the circumstance. It does not matter how foolish you feel or how much the child or children are laughing at you. You must catch that child and perform the HOH just this one time. After this first experience, you have established that your child is a runner. Thereafter, with each subsequent command, be sure to position yourself behind the child with your arm already in HOH position before issuing the command, thereby preventing the child from running. If you know that your child will be a runner even without the initial running episode, then you may begin the HOH technique by commanding and holding onto the child simultaneously for the first command. I should consider this before I begin HOH with Yossi. Every evening when I call Yossi into the house for supper, he refuses to obey. Chances are that if I would issue the command and then approach him to bring him inside, he would start running away from me. So tonight, when I call him inside, I will approach Yossi from behind and cup his underarm. Then I will issue the command and say, "Yossi, please come inside now. It's time for supper." Using the HOH maneuver, I will continue to walk him into the house. Second, the finger clencher. The finger clencher is the child who closes his fist tightly when the parent is using HOH to pick up an object. In this situation, open your hand wide and pick up the object while holding the child's closed fist within that same hand. Then, together with the child, put the object where it belongs. When the task is completed, release the child's closed fist, smile, and say, "Thank you." It is expected that a child might say, "You did it for me. I didn't do it." That statement should simply be ignored as if it were never said. So I guess, if I would tell Yossi to pick up a bencher from the floor and put it on the table, and he would not obey, I should assume the HOH position and place my hand on Yossi's hand to pick up the bencher. Then, if he closes his fist tightly, I should simply maintain my grasp on Yossi's clenched fist and use my own fingers to pick up the bencher from the floor. Then I can walk with Yossi and the bencher to the table, release it, and thank him. I will ignore his response of, "But I didn't do it, ha ha, you did it for me." Third, the command reverser. The command reverser is the child who is most allergic to accepting authority. This is the child who undoes a task that was completed through HOH. When this takes place, remain calm and composed. Simply use the HOH technique again to redo the task and then immediately remove the item from the child. So let's say, I tell Yossi to put 5 blocks back in the container and he ignores my command. I will approach him and use the HOH technique to place 5 blocks into the container. If, as soon as the last block is in the container, Yossi flips the container over and empties its contents onto the floor, I can simply use HOH again to place the same 5 blocks into the container and then remove the container from Yossi's reach. Then I will calmly say thank you and continue with what I was doing before. Fourth, direct tantrum. Direct tantrum is an extremely common reaction for all children who are not accustomed to obeying parental commands. These children will usually react with very violent and extreme tantrums. Parents should be aware of this and should expect them in advance. It is very likely that unprecedented chutzpah will emerge and unthinkable behaviors will appear. This is simply because the child has never been asked to obey an authority. Therefore, even if the child's vocabulary appears to get more chutzpahdik during this training process, the chutzpah will ultimately lessen over time as Kabbalah's Ol is learned. When a direct tantrum occurs, all tantrum behaviors should be ignored, and HOH should be carried out as if the child were complying with the maneuver. So when I give the first few commands, I can probably expect that Yossi will try to throw my hands off of his, or try to violently extricate himself from my grasp while screaming and yelling that he will not do what I am asking him to do, and that I am treating him like a baby, and that I am a disgusting mother. I will stay calm throughout all of this because I am prepared, and I now know that these are normal reactions. Fifth, indirect tantrum. Indirect tantrum is a tantrum behavior that appears different from a typical tantrum. Some children react to the teaching of Kabbalah's Ol by laughing and displaying a condescending attitude toward the parent. During the HOH, they offer their hand with a smile and say, "Do it with me, help me." These behaviors are tantrum behaviors and are considered normal during the initial stages of the HOH phase. Parents should remain calm and carry through with the HOH as if the tantrum behaviors are not occurring. Eventually, the child will see that the parent is not fazed or deterred by this strategy and will most likely revert to direct tantrum behaviors. I can imagine this happening as well. Yossi might make a joke out of HOH and laugh while I carry it through. He might say, "Sure, mommy is going to do it for me so that I don't have to do it myself." I can even imagine him talking baby talk and crawling around making a scene in front of the rest of the children. I guess this reaction would be normal as well. Now that I am prepared, I will ignore it as if it never happened. Sixth, the jack-in-the-box. After a few weeks of performing HOH, some children treat their parents as if they are a jack-in-the-box. This means that the child ignores the parents' commands when they are issued, but runs to do them as soon as the parents initiate a movement that will lead to the performance of the HOH technique. In effect, these children cause the parents to become a jack-in-the-box by waiting for them to initiate a movement before obeying their command. These children have not yet mastered total obedience because the parent still must approach the child in order to facilitate the obedience. Although this progress is a step toward obedience, it is not sufficient. Make sure to implement HOH anyway. Even if your child has begun or completed the task independently when he realized that you were about to initiate HOH, most likely the child will begin to protest and say, "But I was going to do it myself. I want to do it alone." These statements should be ignored and the HOH maneuver should be completed. In 72-hour mode, you might say, "If I tell you to do something and then I have to stand up, it means that I need to help you with my hands, even if you were thinking of doing it yourself. So, if in a few weeks I begin to notice that Yossi does not carry out a command such as, Yossi, please put your breakfast bowl in the garbage within 8 to 10 seconds, I will begin to approach him to carry it out with HOH. If, as soon as he sees me approaching, he runs to carry out the command himself, I will nevertheless calmly take his hand and use the HOH technique to perform the task again, even though he will most likely claim that he was going to do it himself. In this way, Yossi will learn that whatever I say must be carried out immediately, even without my help. Why is it so terrible if I need to make a move in order for my child to obey me? Unfortunately, many parents stop teaching obedience once they reach the jack-in-the-box stage. They become satisfied when they see that their children obey their commands, even though they have to approach them physically before they obey. There are two reasons why abandoning HOH at this stage is premature and problematic. 1. Practically speaking, if parents were physically unable to jump up for each command, they might resort to undesirable methods, such as bribing and threatening, to make sure that the child completes the task without having to be approached physically. This would undo all the progress that has been achieved during the previous weeks of HOH. 2. Additionally, when these children become teenagers, parents will have no choice but to rely on verbal communication to enforce obedience because physical manipulation is no longer appropriate. At the onset of adolescence, parents often realize that the efforts to complete HOH beyond the jack-in-the-box stage prove to have been well worth their while because they result in parents having the ability to communicate a verbal command to their teenagers and know that it will be carried out even when the teenagers live away from home. During the adolescent stages, parents have no physical means of enforcing their commands. Thus, it is of critical importance that younger children be trained to obey their parents' words, even if they are not accompanied by gestures. During these procedures, parents must remember that tantrum reactions are not the child's fault. Children who have spent many years without an established parental authority are expected to need time to adjust to this changed relationship with their parents.